Songs of praises I will ever give to thee. I will forever give to thee. Well, taking our Bibles, let's turn to Psalm 43. Psalm 43, I titled the message, I Shall Praise My God Again. I shall praise my God again. Well, we've arrived at the end of another year, and as we reflect back on this past year, it's amazing how fast time has gone by. Maybe for the younger ones who are in a rush to grow up, the days don't seem to move as fast, but time is passing day by day, moment by moment, and we're getting ready to say goodbye to 2025. Now, some have just arrived in 2025. Others celebrated birthdays as they are getting closer to 10 or maybe 20. Other of us have blown past our 30s and 40s. Some of us are retired, and then there's some among us who are going or in their 80s and maybe getting close to 90. We've celebrated joyful events. We've added new members to our families, become grandparents. We've added to our church family. We baptized 3 believers. We've had so much to be thankful for this past year. We've also suffered together, grieving the loss of a brother, the loss of a mother. For some of us, this time of the year can be difficult, being aware and sensitive to those who are missing from our homes, our tables, or get-togethers. And so this time of the year, it's not uncommon for people to struggle with depression, sadness. Others suffer with anxiety, worried about the future, or worried about the unknown. But there's another battle that we've been engaged in this past year, a spiritual battle. Have you grown spiritually this past year? Have you fought the good fight of faith? Or have you been beaten up by the enemy, attacked? Do you feel defeated? Is your soul being vexed by the enemy, by unrighteousness? Well, then you're in the right place to hear God speak to you today. Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, And I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My salvation and my God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we have dedicated to the preaching of the word. We look forward to this time, not to hearing from a man, not to hearing from the pastor, but to hearing from you. So God, I pray that you would speak to each one here. Give them the message they need to nourish them, to succor them, to encourage them, to love them, to chastise and discipline them, to grow them in sanctification. And may we walk closer with you as we end this year and look forward to what days and years you have before us. We ask and pray in your name. Amen. Psalm 43 doesn't have a heading or a title like many of the Psalms that we've seen before. Some see Psalm 43 as a continuation or a part of Psalm 42. The themes are similar, and besides the themes being similar, in verse 5 of Psalm 43, that same verse is repeated twice in chapter 42, in verse 5 and verse 11. And so some would say that this psalm was split. I don't think it's necessary to believe that. But regardless, this psalm is the word of God. And so we take it, we receive it with God's full authority and divine inspiration. God's word is true, and we must accept it and abide by it. So Psalm 43 begins with a plea for vindication. Verse 1, vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people, from the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. Who is making this urgent prayer? As I mentioned in the sermon on Psalm 42, many seem to think this is a psalm, if not written by David, then certainly written of his experience. And since we can't be 100% sure, the subject here is certainly one who fears God. And for his plea is made to God. Vindicate me, O God. He's not making his case before a human court. He's not trying to be vindicated in the eyes of the world. He's not trying to look good by his own efforts. He's not taking the fight to his opposition. Instead, he turns to God. He asks for God to defend him. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause. Deliver me. From who? Why does he need to be defended? Who is attacking him? Who is wronging him? He asks God to defend and to deliver him from an ungodly people. literally an ungodly nation. This attack, if not literally, it must at least seem like the entire nation is against him. These ungodly people are further identified as the deceitful and unjust. Those who are deceitful, they know the truth, but they twist it. They hide it. They shade it so as to mislead. It's half-truths or just enough truth to make one believe that they're getting the whole truth. But they're deceived and misled. This is no mere oops. It's no accident, not a misspeak. It is purposeful. It is false. It is dishonest. And these ungodly characters are unjust. They are iniquitous. They are wicked, sinful, unrighteous. In wickedness and deceit, these people have attacked this man of God. Well, what do they do? We're not told. Why do they do it? Well, the world hates God and they hate those who love God. The world hated Jesus, and Jesus said if they hated him, they're going to hate us too. Whatever the attack was, it drove the man of God to his knees to plead for God's help. And this is exactly the right course of action. Instead of trying to get even or to handle things on our own strength or wisdom, we should let God handle our enemies. Spurgeon wrote, quote, "One such advocate as the Lord will more than suffice to answer a nation of brawling accusers." When people are ungodly, no wonder that they are unjust. Those who are not true to God himself cannot be expected to deal rightly with his people. Hating the king, they will not love his subjects. Popular opinion weighs with many, but divine opinion is far more weighty with the gracious few. One good word from God outweighs 10,000 railing speeches of men. End quote. This is the next point of his plea. That God is his refuge, his shelter, his safety. Verse 2, "For you are the God in whom I take refuge." This is the truth which undergirds his hope. It's a point that we would do well to remember. Many times we make things much worse when we try to do things in our own strength, in our own foolishness. Many times, instead of being patient, we want to act, almost as if we're trying to force the hands of God. When fighting Goliath, David said, "I got this, God. I know how to use a slingshot. I've done it once or twice before. I can take care of this on my own." No, he didn't say that. What did he say? The battle belongs to the Lord. He went out in the power of God, not in his own abilities or strength. When David had the opportunity to be rid of his enemy, to take the life of Saul, he didn't act on it. Even though he was encouraged to by his own men. The Bible says, "Afterward, David also arose and went out of the cave and called after Saul, 'My lord the king.' And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the earth and paid homage. And David said to Saul, 'Why do you listen to the words of men who say, behold, David seeks you harm? Behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today into my hand in the cave. And some told me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not put out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. See, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand. For by the fact that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, you may know and see that there is no wrong or treason in my hands. I have not sinned against you, though you hunt my life to take it. May the Lord judge between me and you. May the Lord avenge me against you, but my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, out of the wicked comes wickedness. But my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? After whom do you pursue? A dead dog? After a flea? May the Lord therefore be judge and give sentence between me and you and see to it and plead my cause and deliver me from your hand. Here David is illustrating for us the example of trusting God, that God will vindicate. He didn't have to avenge his name or try to clear it by taking care of business according to the normal way of cutthroat politics. He trusted God. Now, trusting God is the way that we are to do things. Let God be God. Let him deal with our enemies. God can take care of them, and he will take care of us. But knowing the truth, knowing the right answer, and living by it is sometimes hard to do. And sometimes doubt creeps in. And sometimes we do ask ourselves the questions we see in verse 2. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Sometimes when we're embattled, when the enemy of our soul is attacking us, we feel like God has rejected us. We grieve. We sulk. We get in a bad mood. We might even get a bit nasty. We can get down and depressed. It can feel as if we're alone, that nobody cares. And sometimes from this place of despair, we can ask, where are you, God? Why don't I feel close to you? Why do I feel so far away? The enemy is all around us and oppressing us, and the war is raging on, but why isn't God doing something? It's how the Israelites felt as they were in exile, waiting for God to send the Messiah. It's how Jesus felt on the cross, betrayed by Judas, betrayed by all his disciples. They all fled. Peter denied him 3 times. The Jews and the Roman soldiers, they mocked him. They spit on his face. They laughed at him. They blasphemed him. In Matthew 27, about the 9th hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was expressing his human feelings, and he was expressing divine truth by quoting scripture. Turn over to Psalm 22. Follow along as I read it. Jesus, in quoting the opening lines to Psalm 22, is drawing attention to the God-breathed truth. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. There, Jesus on the cross is directing us to sharing his experience. These are his feelings prophesied and being fulfilled in time. Keep a finger there. We'll come back to the rest of Psalm 22, but Jesus, being fully human and fully God, knows precisely what we feel when we're being attacked by our enemy. But once again, this is a battle that we do not have to fight. Jesus went to the cross on our behalf. He died in our place. He paid the ransom with his own blood to wash us and cleanse us from our sins. He was raised on the third day, victorious over the grave. Once again, the battle belongs to the Lord. Salvation is by grace. Ours is to trust, to believe, and repent of our sins. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The battle belongs to the Lord. Knowing that God is his defender, the psalmist then pleads, verse 3, send out your light and your truth. Jesus is the light and the truth. John identifies Jesus as the truth and the light. In the beginning, John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. God indeed fulfilled this prophecy in sending Jesus, the light and truth, into this darkened world to save men from their sins. Now we go back to verse 3. The psalmist prays that God's light and truth will lead him. Lead him where? Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. In view here is Zion, Jerusalem, where the temple is, where God's presence would be. He desires to be able to return to worship God. And again, God foretold of Jesus in Psalm 2, verse 6. As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. Being fulfilled, Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Truth and light, capital T truth, capital L light, will lead us to worship the capital T truth and the capital L light. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way. God's light, God's truth. Do you have a longing to enjoy God's presence? To gather with His people on the Lord's Day? When you're under attack by the enemy and you don't feel like coming to church, you don't feel like reading your Bible, you don't feel like singing or giving your offerings. Well, brother, sister, it's time to pray for God to change your feelings. Pray that God's light and truth will lead you to worship Him. If God's light and truth is not leading you to worship, then what are you being led by? Your feelings? That's dangerous. Jeremiah 17, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. It is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord Yahweh, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. If that's you here this morning, or you're going to be listening to this message online, and instead of being with the congregation on the Lord, with the Lord on His day, then pray the prayer in Psalm 51. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Pray that prayer. God will answer. He will honor your request made in earnest. As the psalmist continues, we find that the ultimate end is the worship of God. Verse 4, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. As the catechism teaches, what is the chief end of man? Answer, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. with God's light and God's truth leading us, going before us, before to the throne of grace, we can boldly approach our God. This is the point that the writer of Hebrews makes. Hebrews 4. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. He understands. He knows us. But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Who needs mercy this morning? Who needs grace? Who's in time of need? And how can we help them if we don't have mercy and grace? Giving God praise is our aim. It's the true desire of believers. We long to please our Father. But notice, we don't worship and praise God so that we can feel good. We don't praise God so our circumstances will change. As if coming to church is going to somehow rack up some points that I can later redeem from God when I need to. No. Praising God is who and what we're all about. True worship should define us. Notice, it is God who is our exceeding joy. God is my exceeding joy. Is God your exceeding joy? God is the psalmist's exceeding joy. And it's also as if he can't even contain himself anymore, because then he breaks into song and he says, I will praise you with the lyre. It's like his instrument was right there and he grabs it and he's like, it's time to sing and worship and praise. God. Why God? Now, maybe you can't play the guitar, or maybe you can't play the piano. Maybe you can't even play the cowbell. But you can make a joyful noise. Sometimes we sing hymns and that hymn just will resonate with this. And it can be hard to then sing. But it's then that our hearts are screaming, shouting in joyous worship. Praise God, my God. This is knowing God personally, knowing Jesus to be your personal Savior. So the psalmist has come full circle, being plagued with attacks. He's felt these trials, but reflecting on his relationship with God, he turns to God for shelter, for refuge. He trusts that God will be his defender. And even as he works through some of the doubts and feelings of abandonment, he still trusts God. He calls and allows for God to send his light and truth that leads him to exalt God and to praise him. And so in verse 5, then, we have a chastisement or a self-rebuke. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? In light of what he's written so far, why do we allow our souls to get us down? Why do we allow inner turmoil, this inner trouble, this inner struggle to trouble us so? Well, the answer is as ever as clear as has been from the beginning. Hope in God. For I shall praise Him again. I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. For some of us here this morning, we need this message to be put on a loop, and we need to keep playing this back for our souls to hear. Hope in God. Hope in God. Why? Because ultimately we will praise Him again. Whatever trials the enemy brings upon us, we will overcome. Even death, the final enemy, will be overthrown. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Hope in God. Hope in God. Do you have this kind of faith? The martyrs did. And they awoke on the other side of eternity in the presence of Christ. And so will you and I. Is Christ your refuge? The hymn goes, Rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyelids close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Hope in God. Hope in God. I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. This is faith. This is trust. Jesus quoted Psalm 22 from the cross, and we looked at how it expressed His feelings, but let's close by looking at the final part of it. I'll pick up in verse 21. Remember His plea, save me from the mouth of the lion. And here comes the answer. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify Him and stand in awe of Him. All you offspring of Israel, for He has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. And He has not hidden His face from him, but has heard when he cried to Him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear Him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek Him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord Yahweh, and He rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before Him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve Him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generations. They shall come and proclaim His righteousness to a people yet unborn, that He has done it. Amen. His answer comes. His vindication comes. His salvation comes. And the reply, the response, is worship. Jesus is leading the congregation in worship. Maybe we need to end this year and open up 2026 with a little self-chastisement. Why are you downcast, my soul? We have an awesome God we serve. An awesome God who will fight our battles and vindicate us. And when we stand before the throne of God, we will be accepted. Not because of our righteous deeds, but because of the righteousness of Christ and His mercy and grace toward us. So praise God, my salvation, hope in God, I shall praise my God again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word, for Psalm 43, for the encouragement that it is. We thank you, Lord, because at times we do get down. We do get anxious. We do get depressed. But God, help us to look to you, turning to you, knowing that you will defend us, that you will never leave us or forsake us, that your promises are true, because you have sent your light and truth to us. We pray, Lord, that your light and truth would continue to lead us to worship you and to exalt you, to declare your praises and to exalt your name before all peoples. We pray, God, that no matter if the enemy comes to attack us, we know that you are our refuge, our strength, and our deliverer. Thank you for Jesus, and thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit, who guides us and leads us to all righteousness. We give you all praise. In your name we pray. Amen.